Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Learning to walk as new creatures in Christ is a process. The old things have truly passed away. But out of habit, we can grab up those old things and wear them as a robe, even though they are no longer really our true identity. So we invite you to join in the conversation as we uncover practical ways to put off the old and put on the new. We have been talking a lot about identity and who we are in Christ and our self-esteem and judging that self-esteem and replacing that with Christ and trying to figure out who we are as Christians. And there is no doubt that there are challenges in our Christian walk. There's challenges of change, of faith, and difficulties. And today we are discussing your true identity in Christ. We want to challenge you to know and believe who you really are in Christ. So I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, Janie, I can remember giving my life to the Lord, and I did not feel new.
Well, you know, 5:17 says that's a fact.
Yeah.
And that's more truth than your feelings, isn't it?
Exactly.
And yet the majority of us
go with our feelings
in the same boat that you have just described. Mm-hmm. And if we've got some dear ladies listening today, they may be experiencing the same thing that you've said or something similar. So we can identify with one another so that as we move on to the solution, we can say, yes, we understand where we were or where we are. So let me give you some illustrations.
Okay.
And see if somebody listening says, that's me. That's exactly where I am. So let's just use the supposition that you're a brand new Christian and your church or whoever led you to Christ is faithful in mentoring you and you're starting to grow. But zap, all of a sudden, the things that they're telling you that are so positive are being countered with negative circumstances, negative responses, negative emotions, negative relationships. And all of a sudden, you just say, this is too much. It's too confusing. And you just quit. Now, 5:17 is still true, but you're not enjoying any of the truth of that. Or maybe you became a Christian during a crisis. The loss of a loved one, or a child's tragedy.
Or a failing marriage.
Or a failing marriage, right. Yeah. We could name them, and if we did, that would be the rest of the show,
right.
So we won't concentrate on that. But in that crisis, you've not known the joy and the hope, and the pain is becoming stronger and stronger. And you're wondering, does anybody love me? Does anybody care? The crisis is over with. Mm-hmm. But the after effects are not going anyplace. Is Jesus Christ really real? Or have I just been sold another baggage of
right.
goods?
Exactly.
Maybe you've been a Christian for a decade and you started off with zeal and hunger for the Lord. But again, the pressures of the temporal life pushed in on you. And you woke up one day and realized you still know that you're a Christian. You're still going to church. But your heart has just gotten maybe calloused, maybe just sad. And you realize that that love, that first love that you had, is now somewhere down in the trash. And you know that you want that first love back. You want the joy of your salvation.
But digging through the trash to find it is so difficult.
That's right. And you can get, that's a good point, Sharon. You can get so focused on digging in the trash that you just wind up smelling the stinkiness of the trash. And you never find that sweet savor that is yours in Christ. Does that identify talk?
Yeah.
It does to me. Then maybe you've been a believer most of your life. But you started off with the wrong identity. Mm-hmm. You knew you were a Christian and you knew you were supposed to grow, but you didn't really get any teaching or training past mm-hmm. there. So then you started trying to make this Christian life happen.
Yeah.
And there's just...
Started doing some works.
Yes.
And doing some performances.
Yes. And they didn't satisfy, did they?
No.
They didn't satisfy. So now where are you? Because there's that empty space and you want it filled. You want to go back to where you were, but you don't know how to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a principle we need to always remember. The point that you departed from the joy of your salvation, the point of departure must be the point of return.
But maybe the point of departure was so long ago, you don't know where the return back to.
And isn't it wonderful that Jesus Christ knew that ahead of time and he made provisions for that in his word? And we will get to that. And then I'm just going to give you one other possible situation. Let's say you were saved in a church and a church loves to see people working for the Lord and you never got the training. You never had time to be still and hear the Lord's voice so that you would learn to recognize when he was speaking.
Yeah.
And now you've been in the church most of your life and you excel in performance. You excel in works, but not necessarily good works, because good works have to be according to the mind of Christ. And you see death maybe not too far around the corner. And you're saying, what have I done with my life? What am I going to offer the Lord when I see him face to face? Well, the answer is nothing that you've done.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what he's done for you. And you're perplexed. So what do you think we should do about those people that surround us? I listen to people in different walks of life, and I know you do too. You tell me about different contacts that you have. And we find that this is not the exception to the rule, that one of these categories is really more or less the standard rule for so many Christians today. Thank God there are still churches that are teaching the absolute of your position in Christ, your condition. But we want to speak to those that do not have that privilege today. So what do you think we should share next?
Well, Janie, I think that so many times we wrap our identity up, no matter who we are, we wrap our identity up in our feelings, how we feel, and maybe our identity has been wrapped up in our parents mm-hmm. and how they treated us, maybe how they still treat you today. You know, that maybe you don't feel like they're proud of you, or you don't feel like you're loved by them, or maybe they never tell you that they care for you
mm-hmm.
at all. And they never encourage you to move forward. So you think, well, if they don't love me, if they don't care about me, if they are not proud of me, how could anybody else be? And so many times we wrap our identity up in so many different things. We could wrap our identity up in our performance. And every time we fail, then our identity goes in the trash. We make wrong decisions. We don't know when we hear the Lord. You know, I mean, those are all things that I have not only felt, but heard. I don't know if this is me saying this or if this is the Lord speaking to me. I don't know how God can love me because fill in the blank. You know, of all my failures, because I'm fat, because I'm ugly, because I'm not what, you know, the world looks at and goes, oh, she has some potential. Right?
Correct. And sometimes it's just you look in the mirror and you see yourself one way, and other people will see you differently, but you do make your final supposition of who you are on how you perceive yourself. So we do need to get the lies out of our thinking and to get the truth into our thinking. And we do have an agent that's going to help us about that.
Right. And that's the Holy Spirit. And there are four commands written in Scripture about the Holy Spirit to the Christian. Number one is found in Ephesians 5, 15 through 18, and it says to be filled. Galatians 5, 16 says to walk in the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 says don't quench the Spirit. And Ephesians 4, 30 says do not grieve the Holy Spirit.
And I'll just make a quick comment. It said, when it says, do not quench the Holy Spirit, that is, don't put out the fire that he has put into your life. And a lot of times that verse has particular application to people in ministry. And people in ministry can really come under attack to where the fire, you'll stay strong. You'll keep hanging in there because it's ministry that God's given you. But the fire has gone out and people can sense that when they visit with you. And one of my favorite passages of all of Scripture is do not grieve the Holy Spirit, because that is connected with a spirit of bitterness and the tongue and lack of forgiveness. And we know the devastation that that brings.
Right.
And to be filled would simply be to be totally controlled. Each one of these passages really needs a separate teaching, and we don't want to just gloss over these, but we want to plant the commands in our minds today.
That's right, because it's important that we recognize our attitude towards the Holy Spirit as we learn how to allow 2 Corinthians 5:17 to be real in our lives as new creatures in Christ.
So four commands to begin to get out of the pits and to get onto some solid foundations, to let the Holy Spirit start to put that foundational stone in so that we will have confidence in who we are in our new identity.
Okay, so now that we understand our agent for getting our new identity, how do we take that new identity, expel our feelings, get rid of those, and actually get our new identity on?
Well, there's many ways to do it. I'm going to start off with saying that we want to really concentrate today on a little catchphrase, put off and put on. And that is said several times in the Scripture, but more than just saying put on, put off, which is mentioned two or three times in that verbiage. There are commands, there are many that we have today, and we have a handout on that that we do want to put on, because you aren't going to remember the ones that we're going to cover. There may be some here that you are particularly passionate about, because you've seen the devastation that it's done in people's lives.
Or those that affect them personally over others.
Yes. Yeah. And in doing this, the Lord in John 14, 15, and 16, Sharon, he was getting ready to go away. He knew that his disciples still did not get the game plan. They had walked with him for 3 years. They had had some learning. They had had some training. But he knew that their hearts were going to get tested. They were going to suffer loss. They were not going to understand. So in John 14, 15, and 16, it's just a good portion of devotional time for people to spend this next week in reading what the Lord said about himself and his Father to give you the confidence to trust the Spirit with the four commands that have been given to us. And we're going to have to trust the Holy Spirit to guide us in this put on and put off.
Well, put on and put off sounds really, really like a work. Like I have to actually do something. I'm putting on something. I'm taking off something. You know, the Scripture says to put on Christ, to put on love, to put on. So how do I do that without it being good works?
Well, let me tell you what. Good works are for others. And put on, put off is for you and me personally.
Okay, so if I'm to put on love, what am I doing? How do I do that? How do I put on love? How do I put on obedience? How do I put on patience? You can pick any of those and help me out there.
Okay. Well, let's just say it. Let's take love, because love is the greatest of these. God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. So he knew that we would not understand his love, agape love, which is always doing what's best for the other person, regardless of what their response is towards us. And so he dedicated a whole chapter in the Bible on love. And he said, so you think love is really looking great and doing great deeds? If you don't have love, you're like a clanging cymbal. He talks about you can have all these other things, but if you don't have love, it's like throwing it in the trash can. And then he goes in and gives you the positives and the negatives of what love is. Like he tells us that love is patient. Mm-hmm. But you know what? That word in the Greek doesn't really have to do with circumstances. It has to do with patience in regards to relationship with people. So it's not that you're talking, but of course, most circumstances do involve.
So it's not about waiting patiently in line.
No, that would probably maybe have a little bit more. Well, I don't know. I think a little long suffering probably would also be included, because he teaches us there in the scriptures. That's what you have harped on, and correctly so, for weeks and months. The scriptures are sufficient.
Right.
We've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness.
Well, so if I struggle with gossip, okay, let's just say Sharon has a problem gossiping. Okay, for me to put off gossip, it's all inside of me, right?
Yeah.
So if I come across a lady who has the same problem, and I know she's got the same problem, and I'm trying to put off my gossip, then when I go to talk to her, how do I put that off?
Well, the first thing you would do is you would invoke Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart, because out of your heart comes all the issues of life. And then I think it is Luke, six, I don't want to quote it without having the correct verse, but it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you listen to that, then you don't condemn her for her gossip. You go back and say, where's the heart problem? How can I serve her? And sometimes it might take a sharp rebuke.
Well, but I'm not trying to help her. I'm trying to help myself.
Well,
and see, that's where I'm at is, if I've got a problem with gossip and I'm trying to put it off, now I'm in a situation where I'm trying to put off gossip and put on compassion, love, confidence. Where I'm keeping confidence and not
and having
sharing.
Having a pure heart and a sincere love.
Okay.
And
I know gossip is wrong, and the Lord is dealing with me about gossip, right?
Okay.
So I'm trying to put it off.
So your conscience has made you sensitive to that. All right. Then who is the helper that the Lord Jesus Christ said that he has sent?
The Holy Spirit.
So I would go back and say, Holy Spirit, I recognize that I have a besetting sin, or I have a weakness. I think that's a bad word. I think we need to call it what it is, as a work of the flesh. And I want to get rid of it.
Okay.
So, Holy Spirit, I need to be dependent on listening to you. Well, to be dependent on the Holy Spirit and listening to him, we need to be quiet before him. We need to wait on him. We need to say, take my life and control me, convict me, make me miserable when I want to gossip. Just and I've done some pretty extreme things. Lord, send a pain in my mouth. Oh, that's a good reminder. All of a sudden, I may have a tooth that is killing me from nowhere. Oh, that's mm-hmm. a reminder. You should be quiet in this subject. And Proverbs is good. It tells you so much about the tongue. And James is excellent. No man can tame the tongue.
So basically, we have to, when we recognize that, we have to just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us in every situation and how to put that off and put on the opposite.
And then volition, we can will it. We don't want to, oh dear, I can't do this. The Holy Spirit's just going to have to do it all. I'm just going to mm-hmm. sit here and be mm-hmm. passive. No,
right.
Invoke your volition. And sometimes you may have to even embarrass yourself. I have been in conversations where gossip was going on, and I started to enter into it, and I have openly said and embarrassed myself, wait a minute, ladies, I can't continue here, because I'm going to say something that is going to harm that person. I'm going to say something that's not honoring. I cannot make any comments or have any opinions on where you're going, but I've got to bow out of this. Sometimes I'm not that bold. Sometimes when I hear it, my volition just says, I'm walking away from this conversation. I'm going to excuse myself. And then the Holy Spirit will empower you to give you the grace and the discipline and the strength to follow through because you've obeyed.
Right.
You have not continued in it.
Well, I'm just trying to give us some practical applications to putting off and putting on, because it sounds a little bit difficult when we start thinking about, you know, do I just read these scriptures and that just puts it on me? How do I put this on? How do I take that off? You know, some practical applications to those things to help us move forward in our walk with the Lord.
Okay, well, let's just take one. Bitterness. All right. Bitterness usually comes from lack of forgiveness. I have the volition to, that would be my will, to say, I'm going to forgive that person because Jesus Christ has already forgiven them. And how dare I have the audacity to not forgive what Jesus Christ has already forgiven? And how did he forgive? He shed his blood. And now I, as his creature, am going to be so bold as to say, I reject, Jesus Christ, what you have done on the cross by the shedding of your blood for the remission of sins, so that I can freely offer forgiveness from my heart that has been given to my heart by you. So do you see, if you want to call it, it's a self-talk based on the truth of the scriptures.
Okay, so here's one here that says wrath, and then the opposite is a soft answer. And so if I am wrathful, if I'm wanting to just let somebody have it, then in my heart, in my mind, I have to talk myself out of that and ask God and ask the Holy Spirit to help me through that. Is that what you're saying?
I'm going to change a couple of your words.
Okay.
Okay. You have to take responsibility for your actions, but everything is of grace. And right now, the agent that is exercising that grace in our life is the Holy Spirit. So I have to keep coming back and seeing my inability to do any of these putting ons and putting offs apart from me waiting on the Spirit to do it. But he is going to put my will into the picture. So I have to always be willing to look to see what would be the correct motive, mm-hmm. and be willing to choose that in my head with my conscience confirming, and then with me taking a physical stand against it, whether it is shutting my mouth, whether it is forgiving, whether it is being long-suffering to somebody who has really created an injustice. Not leaning,
humbling ourselves
and not leaning to our own understanding, but in all our ways, committing it to him. So Sharon, we may have opened up a beautiful can of worms today that we need to follow through on, because this is at the heart of change.
This is really just applying the things that the Lord is teaching us daily. When we say putting off and putting on, when the Lord teaches us, you know, gossip, the opposite of gossip is edifying speech. And the opposite of evil speaking is good report. And idle words is a bridle tongue. And so there are actions that are opposite of each other that we can apply, we can choose to apply to our lives over what we've been doing. And this is kind of learning to go down a new path.
Yes. And going down that new path, Sharon, remember that he does everything via prayer. So if we are not going before him in prayer with the Spirit, then we will probably continue in those old patterns.
Okay. And you know, change is very hard.
And
it
timing.
Is hard.
And timing.
It's hard to change.
Yes. You don't change your gossiping spirit because you heard that it was wrong one time.
Right.
Because the Bible tells us it's the tongue's terrible. So.
Yeah. You know, really, that's why we are together, is because each one of us are going through difficulties. And if we are talking about that and expressing that, then we're helping others go through those difficulties also.
Amen, Sharon.
But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratcliffe, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.